per se with you this morning. We're going to be spending a bit of time in prayer in a moment. And before Bonnie puts up the things on the back, I just have one passage that I want to look at. And if you'll turn with me in your Bibles, if you have them, to Mark chapter 11, I just want to read 10 verses, beginning with verse 15. Mark chapter 11, beginning with verse 15. We're going to be looking this morning at just a couple of verses, a couple of passages on prayer. And this passage kind of sets the stage, and it's something that I think we all know, but sometimes we perhaps don't practice. It says this: on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said this: is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you have made it a den of robbers. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, they went out into the city, or out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree was cursed, or you cursed, has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Well, before we look at a few other verses, I just want to say this about this passage. You know, it's kind of interesting that we see at this time that the temple had become a place of just simply buying and selling, of making a profit. And unfortunately, we don't have to look very far in our society to see the same thing happening again. Sometimes church, or what we call church, can become all about the periphery stuff and not about the proper motive, not about the proper focus. And Jesus here, in the midst of this, brings the proper focus. First of all, I think it's important, Ben, especially, that you understand that Jesus got really mad here. Maybe at the right thing, but he got really mad at the people who were doing this in this temple. And he says to them, my house will be a house of prayer. And I trust that each of us knows that this house should be a house of prayer. And then the second thing I want to mention, when talking about the fig tree that Jesus cursed, and they came up as disciples again to that tree, we see Peter remembering what had happened in this instance and the fact that Jesus had cursed this tree. And he looks and he says, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. And Jesus' response to him was pretty simple. He said, have faith in God. You know, sometimes I believe that we as individual Christians don't have the faith, the kind of faith that God wants us to have. You know, we're so concerned about all the stuff that we fail to sometimes stop and ask God for the faith that we need, not just to move mountains, but to see this community impacted for Jesus Christ, to see our families impacted for Jesus Christ. And there are so many different areas that we need faith in as individuals. It's not all logic. You know, medicine can heal individuals, and there are lots of examples of that, but sometimes it's only God himself that can heal. Sometimes it's only God himself that can change our attitudes and our hearts in some of these situations. The third thing that this passage says very specifically to me is this: don't doubt, but believe in God, which is very similar to having faith in God. It says towards the end of the passage, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And you know, sometimes we can pray selfishly, and I don't believe that God will answer those selfish prayers when they're motivated by, you know, just us getting something or becoming rich or doing this or doing that. But when we are really asking in His name for the sake of the kingdom, we can be assured that He will answer prayer. Sometimes it will take months, like Suzanne shared earlier, in terms of praying for your children. Sometimes it takes years. Sometimes we might even die before the answer to that prayer comes. But we can be sure that if we're praying in faith, believing in the name of Jesus and for the sake of His kingdom, that we're going to see God move and answer those prayers in one way, shape, or form or another. Bonnie, if you'll just put up some of the verses that I had up there, I just want to go over a couple of the verses as a prelude, because we're going to spend some time in prayer this morning. And I'm not sure which slide it is. I think it's the next one. And then the next bullet. First thing I want to bring out, when we think about prayer, it's important that we think, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, I don't know about you, but we even heard this morning, I think, testimony that where, you know, it was hard to be joyful in certain situations. And I think it's very imperative for all of us to be joyful always, to know that Christ is in control, that God is sovereign, and He's going to work things out irregardless of what we might be feeling at the time. And then it says, pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. Well, I don't know about you, but giving thanks in all circumstances sometimes is pretty difficult. And sometimes it takes a great deal of faith to just say, God, I trust You, despite what's happening around me. And so this morning, as we pray together, I hope that we can give thanks for some of the circumstances we're in, that we can pray for some of the needs that you guys have in your hearts and in your lives this morning. Next slide. And then this, obviously, another rendering where Jesus says, my house will be called a house of prayer. And so important that we consider that His house and our very life should be filled with prayer. Next slide. This is one that many of us know, I'm sure. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. You know, it's interesting, as some of the youth were sharing and as I've talked to some of them and talked with Glenn, it's interesting how oftentimes God will begin a move in youth. And I saw that in my own life when I became a Christian. You know, people began to humble themselves and pray that God would move in Brandon, Manitoba, some 46 years ago or whatever it was now. And God really did move. There were tens and probably dozens of people that became Christians during that time of revival. And it started with the youth. And so I really believe, and I trust that you do, that God is going to perform that miracle, that revival in our hearts, and that it starts with the youth. That is awesome. Go on, Bonnie. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be evident to all. The Lord is near. And boy, the older we get, the more we know that the Lord is getting nearer all the time. Don't be anxious about anything. Oops, that's all right. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind. I think it says that in Christ Jesus. And when we pray this morning, I hope that we can remember that. And then finally, Philippians, or the next verse, James 5:13. If any of you is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Well, we've been doing that this morning. And what a joy to be able to do that. But along with that, we may be in trouble. We may have some things that we need to pray about. And then, I think this is a lot. Oh, okay. What I'm going to have you do, and what we want to do this morning, is go through this process. First of all, I'd like you, and I know that this can be uncomfortable, but to just find a small group of four or five people and share your praise and your joy with each other. Okay, it can be something really simple that God has done in the past week. What has God done in your life? Share anything causing anxiety and then pray for each other. And thirdly, thank God for what he's been doing or what he is doing in the youth and new believers in our building. As much as we perhaps don't see God dealing with all the struggles we're having in our building, we need to have faith that he's going to deal with those struggles. And in missions, we're seeing some wonderful things happen in missions. Anything that you're thankful for, share about this morning. And fourthly, pray. Any petitions regarding youth, regarding leadership, regarding building, regarding people's needs, regarding anything that God brings up, we'd like you to pray for this morning. So I'm going to give about 10 minutes for you to get together in small groups and just pray for some of the needs in your life. And we'll just leave that on and you can go through some of those steps. So will you do that now? Well, what's God done exciting in your lives lately?